great to see you. Thankful that you could be here today. The crowd is looking good. I hope that this is a sign of things to come, as it were, that we just continue to be able to more and more be together. And I'm longing for that, praying for that. I'm confident you are also. And so thankful for little blessings, thankful for things that maybe once upon a time we took for granted in a big way. But it is great to be with you, great to see you today. What I want us to do is think for a few minutes about something that I need, something I need to think about, something I need to dwell on, areas in which I need to be more what God would have me to be. And so I thought that as I recognized shortcomings and flaws and deficiencies in myself, I thought maybe we could study these things together and it might be of benefit to you also. Because what I know is that it's easy for us to get consumed with, for lack of a better term, we'll just call it this big general umbrella term, it's easy to get consumed with negative things. And that's true like all the time. That's true when things are good. Whenever the economy is booming and pandemics are things you just read about in history books and riots are things that rarely happen, even then it's easy to get consumed with negative things. So when things are tough, when information and news is disheartening, it can be even more tempting and even easier to get focused on and consumed with the negative. So what I believe firmly that Scripture teaches, that there are times that you and I need to actively be reminded. We need to in a very overt kind of way, we need to be reminded to look for the good. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. I've thought about this over and over again, and I'm confident that I will, as long as the Lord allows me to live and breathe and think. I'm thankful for like a million different reasons for my dad. But one of the many, many reasons I'm thankful for him is because of the way he tried. He did his best to instill in me the willingness to look for the good. Now, any faults, like you read about in books sometimes, you know, so-and-so has helped me here, but any faults and typos you find in this book, they're mine only, not those who helped. Well, in the same kind of way, the faults you see in me are not because of my dad, because he tried. He tried to show me the right way. He taught us to look for the good. And I know that was because that's what Scripture teaches. In a place like Proverbs 11:27, maybe flip over there real quick, Proverbs 11:27, and take note of this. Whoever diligently seeks good, seeks favor. In other words, seeks good things, seeks blessings. But then look at the second half of that verse. But evil comes to him who searches for it. So here's what Proverbs 11:27 teaches. You look for the good, you'll find it. You look for the good and it'll find you. You look for the bad and you'll find it. You look for the bad and it'll find you. And so what we see here is that there are times where we need to be encouraged, hey, snap out of it. Look for the good. Look for the righteous things, the holy things, the spiritual things, the godly things. And sometimes we need to be reminded, hey, you need to stop and look at things that are beautiful. Stop being consumed with the ugly and the dark and the sinful. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the psalmist recorded these words, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." When's the last time that you could say you honestly echoed those words of David? That you took the time to see the sunsets, the stars, the white clouds or the green grass, the blooming flowers or the hopping rabbits, or when is the last time that you stopped and marveled at the beauty that God surrounded you with? What about stopping just to consider the beauty of God himself? In Psalms 27, the 27th Psalm there at verse 4, the Bible says, "One thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after." Here's what I want. Here's what I long for. Here's what I'm looking for. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, so that I can gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." Evidently, David thought about the beauty of God quite often. And I'm afraid to say most of us never do. And that's got to change. What better time to make that change than right now? What better time to start weeding out the ugly and start bringing in the beautiful? This is the best time to do that. What better time than right now to lead people from ugliness to the beauty that God offers? Because the world is offering dark, ugly, sinful things, and God is offering bright, beautiful, wonderful things. This is the perfect time to lead the world, not just lead your family, but lead the world from ugliness to beauty. Here's something for us to consider. God absolutely, I don't think anybody could possibly dispute this, God demands that you and I be thankful. Here's two verses to drive that point home. The first one's in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, begin at verse 16 with me. Rejoice always, then verse 17. Pray without ceasing, and then verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God's will for your life is that you not only be someone who's full of joy and you be someone who regularly prays, but God's will for your life is that you regularly display an attitude of thankfulness. Then there's Ephesians 5:4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking coming from your mouth. He says these things are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So this type of thanksgiving that God demands of us, that the words that come from our mouths should not be crude and ugly, but those that offer thanks. This type of thanksgiving can only be accomplished. Now think about it with me. If God demands of you that you be a thankful person, if God demands of you and of me that we be the kind of people that routinely offer thanks, then you know what we got to be doing before that? Looking for it. Looking for things to give thanks for. It's not going to just happen by accident. I'm not going to just wake up in the morning and start being thankful. I've got to look for what it is I can notice and offer and put my finger on that there's something I'm thankful for. Got to have my eyes open. So the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, verse 18, that was read for us a little bit ago. Psalm 119, verse 18. Lord, open my eyes to the wondrous things of your law. So what I want us to think about for a few minutes today is our eyes being open. We could finish that sentence in a lot of different ways. Open our eyes to... But I want us to focus today on having our eyes open to those things which are good, those things which are beautiful, those things which are righteous. Open our eyes to the wonderful blessings. Open our eyes, God, so that we can be thankful even in a time such as this. Let's consider how we can live this out. Let's consider how we can live according to our calling in Christ Jesus and being thankful. Let's start here because... quite obviously, there are some things that keep us from this, because not everybody acts this way. In fact, few act the way that the Lord would have us to. So what is it that's keeping us from appreciating God's beauty? What is it that's keeping us from appreciating God's blessings? What is it that's keeping us from seeing and being thankful for the good? What is it? Let me tell you a story, one that you may have heard before. It occurred back in 2007, so here's what I'm hoping. Is that if you haven't heard this story, then that's a good thing. But if you have heard this story, I'm hoping it was long enough ago that you've forgotten about it. Because here's what happened back in 2007. A newspaper in Washington, D.C. ran this pretty interesting experiment. On a Friday morning there in D.C., at the busiest time of rush hour in one of the subway stations, they placed a world-class violinist. His name was Joshua Bell. He played for 43 minutes. He played six classical songs, six songs that are recognized widely as some of the most beautiful music ever written. So stationed at this very hectic, very busy location in this D.C. subway station, a world-class, wonderfully, powerfully trained individual played for 43 minutes, six beautiful pieces. You got it in your mind? You got it? What's happening? What do you think took place on that subway station that day? What do you think happened as the 1,097 people passed by in 43 minutes? Let that sink in. Over 1,000 people in 43 minutes passed by this man playing his music. Let me mention this. He played on a violin that only cost $3.5 million. I didn't misspeak. The violin cost $3.5 million that he was playing on. 3 days before that experiment, he played in a sold-out symphony hall in Boston, and the cheap seats went for $100. So what the point is, people pay big, big money to sit and listen to this man play his music. On this day, in this subway station, in this 45 minutes, he received just about $32 in change. You know, when the performers open up their case and then they play, he got about $32. He's used to charging you $100 for one seat. On this day, when those 1,097 people passed by, only seven stopped even for a moment to listen. Most never even acknowledged that he was there. Can you imagine? Think of the opportunity that was missed by so many people. As I see it, and as I'm sure you see it too, this is a helpful illustration of having eyes and ears and hearts that are open to the beauty that's going to be around us. But there are things that keep us from seeing, things that keep us from appreciating those blessings that have been put into our lives. So what is it that keeps us from appreciating the blessings? Well, it could be this. We're just not looking. You have to be looking for the blessing to see it, don't you? The thousands who entered that subway station on that hectic Friday morning, they weren't looking for a world-class entertainer. So it's understandable they didn't see him. But that becomes a major teaching moment for you and for me. We have to keep our eyes open. We have to be looking for the blessings that God may be putting in our way. Matthew chapter 7 at verse 7 comes to mind. Ask, and it'll be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. And then verse 8 says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it'll be open. You notice what he's saying there, Matthew? What Jesus says in Matthew 7 is that asking, seeking, and knocking are requirements on the front end for receiving God's blessings. We have to keep our eyes open to the possibility of those blessings. Find the doors to knock on. Find the people to ask. Ask, seek, and knock, and you will be rewarded. It may be the case that we're missing out on blessings because we're preoccupied. The folks in the subway station that day most likely were headed to work. And so we all know how that is. They likely had 10 million things on their minds as they were descending into the station or ascending out of the station. They had deadlines to meet before the weekend. They had meetings that were going to take place that day that they weren't looking forward to. Maybe they just had arguments back at home that they left behind them. They were preoccupied. And so this takes effort and this takes prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 12, the Lord says, then you'll call upon me and you will come to me and you will pray to me and I'll hear you. Now note this, verse 13. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you stop being preoccupied with so many other things, when you stop trying to have your foot in the camp of the idol and the other foot in my camp, but when you seek me with all your heart, we learn that seeking God first and foremost opens us up to seeing His blessings. It's understandable about being busy and preoccupied, but it causes us to miss what God has put in our way. It also might be this, the fact that some maybe have made assumptions. We have to avoid making assumptions because it's common in big cities such as Washington, D.C., where there's lots of people crammed into a little place. It's common to have people performing in high traffic areas. That's not unusual. And so it's really easy to get jaded. It becomes easy to tune that music out, doesn't it? The assumption is that one performer is just like all the others. And so we can get into routines where we start going through the motions. You hear something, but you don't even really hear it. So let us remember that our loving and merciful God packs blessings into each and every day for us. Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And so great is His faithfulness. We have to avoid just getting into a routine and making assumptions about how the day will go. We have to wake up each day and say, you know what? Not only is this the day the Lord has made, this is a day that the Lord has put blessings in my life. I'm going to go find them, and I'm going to tell God thank you for them. Too often we refuse to act that way. We refuse to think that way, and it's to our detriment. Then there's this. We just flat out need to be informed. Maybe so many people in that subway on that day when Joshua Bell was playing, maybe they just didn't know what to be listening for. Now, I am in no way, shape, form, or fashion saying that you have to love Bach or Beethoven in order to go to heaven, something like that. Just because you don't like that kind of music doesn't mean much. But here's what I am saying. Every last one of us must be able to distinguish between garbage and treasure. Every last one of us must be able to distinguish between sin and righteousness. In Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says that solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It could be we don't appreciate God's blessings because we don't know what to look for. At one point, if you look in Matthew chapter 19, when there's the account of Jesus interacting with what we call the rich young ruler. Remember the young man who came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And they spoke about keeping the commandments. And he says, "Oh, I've kept those commandments, like not committing adultery, not committing murder, and honoring my parents. I've kept those commandments. What else do I lack?" And you remember that Jesus said, "Sell all you have, give it to the poor, come follow me." And he goes away sorrowful. And upon that exchange, seeing the way that Jesus interacted with that man, the disciples said in Matthew 19, verse 25, "Well, if the rich, if those who've been blessed with material blessings, if they can't be saved, then who can?" The disciples thought worldly riches indicated God's favor. They had not yet learned to distinguish between that which was eternally good and that which was temporarily good. If we have, as it says in Jude verse 2, mercy and peace and love, if we have those simple things, we may not have a prestigious job, we may not have lots of money in the bank, may not have those kinds of things, but if we have mercy, peace, and love, we should be giving praise to God. We need to be looking for what true blessings really are. What is it that keeps so many of us from seeing them? Well, there's all kinds of things that come in our way and get in the way and trip us and cause us to look in the wrong direction. And then here's the next key I want you to think of, is that when we miss seeing these things, when we allow the distractions to keep us distracted, here's what we miss. If we're not actively and intentionally looking for God's beauty, if we're not actively looking for God's blessings, we might be missing out on all kinds of wonderful things. Just imagine if you were the kind of person who was like a big, big fan of Joshua Bell, and someone tells you on Monday, "Hey, did you hear that he was playing for free for 43 minutes in the subway and you walked right by him? Did you know that?" Wouldn't your heart kind of sink? You know, maybe to try and put it in a way that many of us would more readily understand. What if someone said, "Hey, did you know that Coach Cal was in the square yesterday and spent about 2 hours there just hanging out and signing autographs for free and answering questions? And you only found out about it today?" What? I could have... You'd feel bad about that, maybe. Insert whoever it is that you like in that spot. You can remove Coach Cal. You get the point. When you find out afterwards that you've missed something that you would have loved to have seen, you've missed someone that you would have loved to have been around, there's things that we miss. Sometimes we miss what we'll just call opportunities to help. In Philippians chapter 2 at verse 4, the Bible says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others." In Hebrews 13 verse 16, the Bible says, "Don't neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." We must be looking for opportunities. Our eyes must be open. We should actively and intentionally be saying to the Lord, "Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities that are around me to help the people that need help, to lift up those who have been knocked down, to encourage those who need the encouragement." Lord, open my eyes to the opportunities. In 1 John chapter 3 at verse 17, the Bible says, if anyone has this world's goods and he sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? In other words, God's love does not abide in the one who sees the one who needs help and just says, hope somebody else helps you. In Proverbs chapter 3 at verse 27, the Bible says, do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in your power to do it. We must be willing to help when the opportunity is seen. And so first of all, we pray, Lord, open my eyes to see opportunities. And then pray, Lord, open my eyes to then being willing, having the courage to help where I see those opportunities present themselves. So we miss out on opportunities to help when we're not looking. We also miss out on opportunities to be obedient to the Lord when we're not looking. Rebellion and laziness, these kinds of things just won't be tolerated by God. For the one who, like, you know, plans to listen tomorrow, for the one who plans to respond tomorrow, that opportunity may not present itself again. And so in that time of apathy, in that time of putting things off, the Lord is not pleased with that type of disposition. In Proverbs chapter 20 at verse 13, this is what the Bible says. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Now, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to take naps. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to get a good, solid night of sleep. It's not what it means. He says, love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you'll have plenty of bread. A refusal to act, a refusal to be ready to work, a refusal to sweat, a refusal to be energetic about the things that need to be done lead to a downfall. A refusal to act is going to lead to spiritual hunger. A refusal to act is going to lead to spiritual destitution. Scripture tells us this a number of times. It often uses the imagery of being blind. Scripture talks about being physically blind in order to teach us about spiritual blindness. Maybe you'll note in your Bibles in John chapter 9, this whole chapter is dedicated to this one individual where there was this man that the disciples saw as he was blind, and they said to the Lord, why is this guy blind? What's happened? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? What's the situation? Why has this guy been so cruelly struck in this way? You recall the Lord says, well, it's none of that. It's not his sin or his parents' sin. What's happening here is going to offer an opportunity for God to be glorified. See, the disciples didn't see what was happening. The Lord Jesus saw what was happening. He said, this is happening here. This man is physically blind so that I can help so many more of you see spiritually. He said in John chapter 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent us while it's day, while we have opportunity, because night is coming when no man can work. In Acts chapter 9, at verse 8, we see Saul being struck blind. It says he was there on the ground. His eyes were open. This is Acts 9, 8. Eyes open, but he couldn't see. It's not until verse 18 that it says that he regained his sight and then was baptized. And here's this one who has been struck blind physically and then given his physical eyesight back in order to help people see spiritually. This is what he says. Go to Acts 26. Acts 26, down at verse 18. Where in Acts 26, 18, Paul says that he was sent to the Gentiles for this purpose. Now listen, Paul was sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes. He wasn't sent to a place where there was a bunch of people that were physically blind, right? He was sent to people who physically could see, but spiritually were blind. He was sent to them to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So again and again, we see this idea that if we're not looking, Paul said, my job is to go and help them see this is the time to obey. My time was to help them see today is the day to ask for forgiveness. Today is the day to respond to Jesus. Today is the day to follow Jesus wherever he might go. Today is the day to confess his name. Today is the day to be immersed, as it says in Acts 2:38, repent and be forgiven and given the gift of the Holy Ghost. Today. Sometimes if we're not looking, we'll miss opportunities to help, we'll miss opportunities to obey. Quite simply, we'll miss seeing Jesus. Now, that seems like an amazing thing, that couldn't be the case. How could someone like me, how could someone like you, someone who's been going to church for so long, someone who's read the Bible so many times, how could I ever miss Jesus? Well, we see in a place like Luke 24, verse 16, that those disciples who are on the road to Emmaus, those who loved Jesus, it says in Luke 24, 16, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. You and I are going to be given opportunities to see, to respond, to love, to embrace. What will we do? In John chapter 20 at verse 15, we see Mary. She didn't realize that she was standing next to the risen Jesus. Remember that little quick conversation she had? She thought she was talking to the gardener. It was Jesus. Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come to him and eat with him and he with me. Let's not miss an opportunity to see Jesus. Let's not miss an opportunity to share Jesus. When we're not looking, we're not actively, openly looking for opportunities to help, looking for opportunities to obey, just looking for opportunities to see and share Jesus, then we miss what God has intended for us. Then finally, very quickly, if I realize that too often I'm blind, if I realize that too often I have my head buried in the sand, if I realize that too often I'm dwelling on and focused on that which was ugly rather than that which is good, what will help me? What can be done? How can I improve? How can I better position myself to see what the Lord had me to see? How can I see the good, and how can I be thankful for the good rather than consumed with the negative? How? Well, I think it starts here. I think it starts with humbly asking for help. It begins by asking the Lord, seeking the Lord for help. Psalm 119:18, again, where we started this whole thing today. In our text, the psalmist said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things. If we will emulate the psalmist, then that's what we'll do. Because when he says, open my eyes so that I can see these wonderful things, what he's doing is admitting the need. I need your help. I need you to help me. I'm weak. I depend on you. I acknowledge that you have the power. I acknowledge that you are the one who's merciful. So Lord, open my eyes so that I can see these wonderful things. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 17 and 20, two different times, Elisha prays for eyes to be opened. Once he prays in verse 17 for his servant to have his eyes open to see the power that God has surrounding them. In verse 20, he prays that the captives, the enemy from Syria, would have their eyes open to where they can see where they are. This image is used again and again and again. Maybe turn in your Bibles to Matthew 9 or Matthew 20. In Matthew 9, 27 or Matthew 20, verse 29, both of those places, we have Jesus healing blind men. And I think that one of the things that's consistent between these two passages is that Jesus heals these blind men, note, when they cry out for mercy. When they recognize that it's the Son of David who has the power and the wherewithal to get them out of their position. And they say, Son of David, have mercy on us. We start with humility. We have to openly admit our frailty and admit our weakness. And we have to plead with God for strength and wisdom. This is the foundation to build a thankful life upon, recognizing our weakness and His power. But then I think there's also this. I think this is a very practical thing to consider. We need to slow down. I've heard from many different people that one of the blessings that's come from this pandemic has been the fact that we've been forced to go at a slower pace. Many have expressed how thankful that they are that they've been removed from some of their hectic schedules. Now, not everybody's been that way. I know lots have maybe been ramped up and made more difficult. But from a few, I've heard that this has been a blessing to slow down. It's good to be busy. It's good to be focused and work hard. But it's sinful to do such to such a degree that God and family are crowded out. I'll say that once more. It's good to be busy. It's good to be focused on things that are going to be beneficial to our workplace. But it is sinful to do so to a degree that God is forgotten and that family is pushed out. That is not okay. In Psalm 37, verse 7, the Bible says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. I want you to make the decision make the choice to stop. You might have to put it on the calendar. You might have to put it into the schedule on your phone. But I want you to make the choice to stop and to slow down and to look for blessings and to literally count them. Don't just once a year sing a song that says, count your blessings. I want you to routinely stop and literally count your blessings. Because can't you just imagine, going back to that story of Joshua Bell, can't you imagine the crazy subway in a big city at rush hour? How hectic, how busy. There's no time to stop and listen to a street musician. But imagine the blessings and the joy that was imparted to those who did stop. Imagine the joy and the blessings that God has in store for those who stop and look now. So you and I, what we must do, if we know what God is like, if we know who God is, it will be of help to us to seek Him in a way where we're aware of the fact that God's eyes are always open, they're always looking, and we want to reflect the life that acknowledges that. Lord, I know your eyes are open, so help my eyes be open. Because this is our God, the one who is, He's merciful, and He seeks to show mercy, but He's also just, and He's holy, and He says, He promises to punish the wicked and the sinful. So may our eyes be open to our own conduct. May we have eyes that are open to examining the truth of Scripture and knowing, have we obeyed the gospel? Are we thankful to God for the many ways that we've been blessed? Have we acknowledged the supremacy of Jesus? As it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess with the mouth, admitting from deep within our souls that we are convinced that the Lord walked out of the tomb on the third day. Have we stood like that crowd of thousands in Acts 2:37 who said, what now? What do we do? And Peter's response in Acts 2:38, repent and be immersed. Have we obeyed the gospel? Are we thankful to God for the many ways we've been blessed? The psalmist prayed, open my eyes so that I can see these wondrous things. I hope that we'll join him. May our eyes be open to that which is good. Don't ignore it. Don't rush past it. May our eyes be open to the beauty of God. Don't miss his beauty and his blessings. May our eyes be open to seeing what God would have us to see. If we can encourage you or help you in any kind of way today, we hope that you will look at who God is and look deep within at who you are. And if there's any way you need to respond today, we call upon you to call upon the name of the Lord and respond while we stand and sing.